Well, it's great to be worshiping with you this morning. One, just off of what Tristan was saying, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. And obviously, we're going into the Thanksgiving months, and so it kind of makes sense. But just wanted to give a thanks. One, I just wanted to say thank you to Tristan for leading worship with us this morning. He's leading worship this morning for Kai. Kai's back with his family. His dad passed, and so he's able to be back there, and Tristan was willing to step in. So I just want to say thank you, Tristan, for helping out and stepping in. Yeah. And then, just also a big thanks to God. Thank you, Rachel, for getting everything all set up with the check-in system. It's so great to see all those different little things coming together. And thank you for our sound people that are actually helping out with showing me I didn't turn my system on. So anyway, we are excited to worship. So thankful for each and every one of you. And we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. Now, as we get ready to start talking about this topic, I had to laugh because Thanksgiving, let's be honest, how easy is it to be in a spirit of Thanksgiving? Now, I'll go ahead and be honest because, well, I get to because I'm up here. But this week, one of the things that I was laughing at is here I'm trying to reflect and think on Thanksgiving. And here we're out to eat with some friends. And my wife is so gracious and she walks over this wonderful apple dessert with ice cream on it and hands it to me, and I take it and start devouring it. And she goes, huh, and walks off. And I was like, well, wonder what's going on with her. And this morning in the shower, I was like, hun, man, I think I forgot to say thank you. So with guys, this was on Wednesday that this happened. It finally sunk in by Sunday. But thankfulness is not something that comes natural to us. And the other one that I was thinking about with thankfulness is sometimes it's even hard, this week this also happened, sometimes it's even hard to receive appreciation. So not only is it hard for me to be thankful, but it's also hard for me to encounter and react to other people being thankful. I was laughing, somebody came up to me this week and was like, man, I'm so thankful for, you know, we had a great time hanging out and so thankful for this time that we had together. And then immediately, what did I say? I didn't say, oh yeah, no problem, I enjoyed it too. Instead, I was like, yeah, I don't think I did really well at this. And I totally just blew off this person giving appreciation and saying, wow, thank you, this is great. We enjoyed hanging out together. Thankfulness is not something that is easy for us. Would you agree with me? Here's my question this morning. Why spend an entire month on Thanksgiving? I mean, is it that worth it that we actually spend an entire month on Thanksgiving? There's so many topics that we could talk about. Why spend an entire month on Thanksgiving? Well, here's my conclusion that I want to try to support this morning, because this is kind of our introduction. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. I'm going to talk about a command that's given to us. I'm going to give kind of an overview of thankfulness in Scripture. And then we're actually going to participate in communion, in remembering what Christ has done for us. So that at least kind of gives you an idea of where we're going. Why spend a month on Thanksgiving, though? I'm hoping to establish this morning that actually a month probably isn't sufficient amount of time to spend on the topic, on such an important topic as Thanksgiving. And so as we kind of get into this, one, I was just looking at some different statistics. Now, by no means am I pretending to be an expert in any of these fields. But I was just trying to think through, okay, well, how does thankfulness relate to even America? How do we do at Thanksgiving? Are we a thankful nation? Now, this was from back in 1988, so it's a little bit older research. It was done by British Journal of Social Psychology. They noted that 20% of American adults rated gratitude as a constructive and useful emotion. 20%. Of Americans rated gratitude as something that was useful. It was a useful emotion to have. Now, that was in 1988. But what about today? What is there anything that would even relate to what's happening today? More current survey actually was done by the Harris Poll, and they were trying to figure out, okay, during Thanksgiving, how many people actually really like to spend time thinking about being thankful for what they have? Now, Thanksgiving is kind of that time of year, right? When we like gather around and we eat turkey and gorge ourselves on it. There's football and all those things going on, and it's called Thanksgiving. Now, what they found by doing this research, this survey, is they found three out of five Americans say they'd rather do something else rather than reflect on being thankful. Three out of five. Now, the interesting thing to me in this one is what they would actually rather focus on than being thankful, because they actually asked the question, what would you rather be doing instead of being thankful? And people said, I'd rather be watching a football game.
Some football.
I'd rather actually watch something live streaming, a video online. I'd actually rather hang out with my pet. Now, Tristan asked me this morning, well, can't I do those things all at the same time? Yes, you can do that, but the point is, people don't want to do it. I don't want to have to think about that. I don't want to have to think about what I'm thankful for. Three in five Americans say they'd rather do something else rather than reflect on what they're thankful for during Thanksgiving. Well, those are just some statistics about us as a nation. I don't think it's very hard for us to realize, and even just looking at myself, maybe even you can relate to how hard it is for us to be thankful. Overall, as people, we're a pretty thankless people. It's hard for us to be thankful. And so let's think about this. Well, how important is it that we're actually thankful? So that kind of took me down as I was thinking through this week. Well, how important is this whole thankfulness thing? I know we're supposed to be kind of thankful all the time, but is this really important for me to be thankful, to express it, to say it? Like, can I just be thankful on the inside? If you're happy and you know it, don't tell a soul. Can't I just be happy on the inside? Well, here's some other stuff that I was looking at. What does thankfulness, how important is it to be thankful? Is this a mere social courtesy that we're supposed to do, that this is just about being a nice person in American culture? Is that why we do this? Or is something bigger at stake? We're going to be getting ready to talk about, we're actually commanded as a people to be thankful by our God. Now, is this just about being courteous? Or does God have something bigger in mind for us as a people? Consider with me this morning some of the realities of how thankfulness impacts us. The impact of being thankful is profound. So these are just a few of the different things that can actually impact by each and every one of us and how thankful that we actually are. Now, I'm not going to go into all the research that I found, but it was so interesting to me. So if you can bear with me, I'm going to nerd out for a little bit, okay? I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to stats and figures, because this was actually really interesting. Thankfulness impacts how we interact with others. There was one psychologist, his name's David Reynolds. He notes that gratitude and neurotic suffering seem to be antagonistic, that neurotics exhibit self-centeredness in contrast to gratitude, being others-centered. So how does thankfulness actually impact us as a people? People that are less thankful, they've actually noted, are actually more self-focused. I'm focused more on myself. That impacts on how I actually relate with other people. How else does it help me? Being ungrateful is related to materialism. There was a study done by University of Amsterdam in 2011 by a study in pediatrics. They defined materialism as having a preoccupation with possessions and believing that products bring happiness and success. So that idea that accumulating more stuff is going to make me happy. Now, here's what they found, and it shouldn't surprise us. The results, rather than actually making us happy, materialism and life satisfaction negatively influence each other, causing a downward spiral. Materialistic, now this was specifically for kids, materialistic children are less happy. Now here was the interesting thing. They actually followed this out a little bit longer to look at them in adulthood to see, well, what would happen to these kids that struggled more with materialism? Well, here's what they found. They found out that the study concluded that materialistic children become less happy later on in life. It doesn't change that course. It keeps them in a state of unhappiness. So
they related this back to this issue of just being thankful for what I have rather than trying to pursue more and more stuff, that thinking that that's what's actually going to make me happy and fulfilled. How else does it impact? We've highlighted maybe some of the negative aspects, but what about some of the positive aspects of being thankful? Another study that was done in 2003, and it was done on young adults. Now, here's what they did with these young adults. They decided, okay, how impactful is it for people to actually journal how thankful that they really are? So they gave these kids a journal and told these young adults, hey, all that we want you to do is at the end of every day, take just a few minutes and jot down things that you're thankful for. That's it. Another group that they handed, they said, we'd actually like you to take a journal and write down things that you're annoyed about. Which journal do you think was longer? The other group that they had is they said, listen, we are going to have you actually look and see. We want you to compare yourself to others. Man, there are so many people that are so less fortunate. Compare yourself with other people and see how that impacts you. Well, what do you think that they found? The young adults assigned to keep gratitude journals showed greater increase in determination, attention, enthusiasm, and energy compared to other groups. Now, the interesting thing about this was this actually showed something really interesting with the groups. Is the kids that were annoying, we obviously would kind of know what's going to happen to a kid that's focusing on being annoyed. Probably going to be annoyed, right? But the other interesting thing that they found from that is that sometimes how we define being thankful is actually comparing myself with others. And what they found is that the kids that were actually comparing themselves with others, they didn't show any marked improvement. And the telling thing about that is that it actually helps us see that gratitude requires an appreciation for positive aspects that are in our life. It's not just a mere looking at other people and going, well, they don't have anything, I'm so much better off. Now, does Scripture speak to that at all? If you think about in the Gospels, there's a time where Jesus was talking about a certain Pharisee that came in, noticed him in the temple. And the Pharisee stood before God and proclaimed and said, God, I am so thankful that I am not like that sinner. One person walked away justified. The sinner who came before God and said, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man who sinned. I stand before a holy God. That person went away justified. God accepted his sacrifice. The Pharisee, on the other hand, who was comparing himself, going, I'm glad I'm better than that guy, was not accepted. So even Scripture speaks to the fact that just a comparison doesn't mean that I'm actually thankful. It's actually looking at the things. You actually have to show an appreciation for what you do have for it to have an effect on my life. Well, that was kids. Well, what about adults? Because, okay, maybe we could use the excuse, okay, kids, you know, simple-minded, young adults, Don't actually go with that one. Maybe the adults would be different. I mean, we're kind of more sophisticated, right? So they did the same study, same group of researchers on adults, and here's what they found. The researchers conducted a separate study which showed that even a weekly gratitude journal was beneficial. Here's what it improved: optimism. The other thing that it improved was even our behavior. They noticed that people that were more thankful, guess what they did more often? They got up and they exercised. It even impacts exercise. Now, the next one was kind of interesting because now we're looking at adults and especially older adults. As I get older and I'm starting to notice this after I tried to do a bicycle kick and separated my shoulder, I'm noticing I'm experiencing some more aches and pains and some foolish behavior that I thought I would grow out of. But one of the things that was the other benefit of being thankful was this. It also caused a reduction in physical ailments. So these subjects had fewer aches and pains. Now, did they have fewer aches and pains, or did they just not focus on those aches and pains? And that would be my question for that study, something that they didn't talk about. Thankfulness impacts us in so profound ways. Look at some of the things: self-centeredness, materialism, control. One guy was actually looking at this from the perspective of economics. And he was looking back and going, listen, so many times, how many of you have grandparents in here when they talk about their time? How do they refer to it? There's a certain term that they use. I remember the good old days, right? And so this guy was looking at economics and he was going, okay, well, let's look and consider how good the good old days really were. They weren't that great. But they look back with fondness of it. They look back and go, that was the time. That was the business. To be alive in that time, that was something. And so this guy started to look at it and he goes, well, why is it that people are so ungrateful living in today? We have so many advancements that you even look in the last 100 years. I mean, people are now experiencing a different quality of life. We should be way more thankful than what we experience. And as he's doing some research on this, one of the things that he came across was he was like, man, the interesting thing that I found is that, let me see if I can find out where he said it. Now I'm blanking it. That one of the things that we start to do when we're not thankful is we actually try to start controlling our current reality. We try to control things around us. So it impacts not only how I think, how I feel, it controls how I interact, that I try to maybe manipulate and control things around me when I'm not as thankful or grateful. The last one was this. There was another study that was done by a group of Chinese researchers. They wanted to look and see how it actually impacts sleep quality. And guess what they found? This was my last one. In case you don't want to nerd out anymore with me. They actually found that people that are more thankful, it actually improves your sleep. It improves your sleep. They found even more research into this. They started to try to look at people that maybe struggled with depression, people that were depressed. The more that they focused on being thankful, it actually decreased depression directly, meaning that being thankful actually directly changed my being depressed. It indirectly impact being anxious. Now, the fun thing with this one is it was most likely because what they found was because these people were getting more sleep, and that impact how the anxiety impacted them as a person. Being thankful. How important is this? Do you kind of see where I'm going with this? It's huge. It changes my outlook on life. It changes how I look at other people. It changes my energy. It changes my sleep patterns. It changes depression, changes anxiety. It impacts so many different things for each and every one of us today. So is it worth it to spend a month on being thankful? Again, I would articulate, I don't know if we're actually spending enough time on this. What about spiritually? I've just been talking about other things for those that would maybe distinguish some of those aspects between secular and spiritual. Those are all spiritual issues. But for maybe for some of us to get technical, let's think through this. How does this impact us spiritually? Does it impact us spiritually? One of the last things that I just spoke on in 1 John was the end of 1 John. What was the command that John gave to the people? Little children, keep yourself from idols. We talked about idolatry. Now, here was an interesting thing in looking at how does being thankful actually impact idolatry. Turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Psalm 106. Is there any correlation to idolatry and being thankful? Idolatry, anything that would take the place, minimize, or reduce God's rightful place in my life. Is that related to being thankful? And the psalmist actually writes this sweeping psalm in Psalm 106. I'd encourage you to read through all of it. I'm only going to focus on a few different portions from this. In Psalm 106, verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." What is he doing? He's being thankful. He's focusing, oh man, God, you are so good. Look what you have done. And then he goes on to explain what God had done for them. When you look into verse 2, it says, "Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare his praise?" He's focusing on who God is and what he does. "Blessed are they, happy are they who observe justice, who do righteousness all the time. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in gladness of your nations, that I may glory with your inheritance. But look at verse 6 at what happens. He's recounting how God has richly blessed them, but it didn't always happen that way. He says in verse 6, both we and our fathers have sinned. Well, how did they sin? We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider, they didn't reflect, they didn't contemplate, they didn't ponder. What didn't they consider? Your wondrous works. They didn't remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but they rebelled by the sea and the Red Sea. Despite all of that, what does God do if you keep reading? He saves them. Now, what was the main thing that they sinned in? They just stopped thinking about what God had done. They stopped being thankful for how God had worked in their life. And that was the beginning of another step that happened in a little bit later in their life. Look in verse 13. He talks about God rescues them, but then eventually what happens? In verse 13, he says, but they soon forgot his works. They didn't wait for his counsel, but they had wanton cravings in the wilderness, and they put God to test in the desert. And he gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. Then eventually what we can see in verse 19 and on, that they eventually turned to idolatry. And all that the psalmist is doing is this. Listen, when we stop remembering, when we stop reflecting, when we stop actually pausing for just a moment to reflect on what God has done, who he is, and being thankful for it, what does that produce in each and every one of our lives? A proponent's or a tendency for us to fall into worshiping other things, directing our praise toward other things and giving it the attribute and acclaim for that's what saved me. That's what brings hope. That's what brings life and healing. And the psalmist is just pointing to the fact that spiritually, when I'm thankless, it actually changes me by making a heart that's more prone toward idolatry. And things taking God's rightful place in my life. There's a quote by, well, actually before that, what does the psalmist see as the solution? Go to the last verse of Psalm 106. And what does he say? Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let the people say amen. Praise the Lord. What does he see as the solution against idolatry and not remembering? Remember, praise, just celebrate, think about what he's done, give him credit for it. There's a quote by John Bloom that I found that says, the spiritual cost to us being thankless is much higher than we might think. Thanklessness is not merely the absence of verbalizing a thank you, it's a symptom of spiritual dullness. Of spiritual poverty, because it's taking for granted and not appreciating grace being shown to us. Focus on that last part. It's taking for granted and not appreciating grace being shown to us. Now, does that happen in life? We've just been talking about random examples. Now, for some of you that may have kids, you may have seen an instance happen like this. Maybe you or your spouse, you prepare this wonderful meal, you put it out in front of your kids, and they gobble it all up, and then they run off to go play. Now, so many times in America, what we try to do is we try to sit down with our kids, and we try to say, listen, don't forget to say thank you for something. Now, is this just a social courtesy? Is this something that we're just trying to have them be a nice kid? Or is there something more to it? And I think what we just learned from the psalm is when we teach them to actually reflect and think about what has just happened. See, the reason parents should get after a child about something like not being thankful, it's not just a simple courtesy. It's important because we're teaching a child, we're actually forcing ourselves to do something that is so important and fundamentally changing for us as people. What is it? It's not just being a nice person. It's to recognize grace. To call grace what it really is. That's grace. I didn't deserve this meal. I didn't deserve this act of kindness. I didn't deserve for you to do something like this toward me. Thank you. Thank you for that. We're teaching ourselves to actually have an appropriate response, which is gratitude, thanksgiving. Something that fundamentally changes us as people. Well, let's consider this for just a moment. All right, let's consider Old Testament. This word in the Old Testament is something that has actually been used quite a bit. When I was in Israel, we'll teach you a Hebrew word. How about that? Just if anything, you learned one Hebrew word that could be very helpful for you. Say, todah. You're welcome. It's thank you. This word todah is used consistently throughout Scripture. It's used over 33 times, and specifically in the Psalms. It's used a variation of it, the root word of it. It's actually used all over through the Old Testament. When we look at how it's used of offerings. So when the Israelites would come, a person who is absolutely thankful for something that God had done, he would go in and he would go to the temple and he would actually offer a sacrifice. And saying, God, thank you. A reaction to just the provision of God and who he is and what he's done. And he would go in and he would offer the sacrifice to say thanks. Now, the cool part about this is then afterwards, he'd get to do something really cool. Do you know what that was? He'd get to eat it. He'd actually get to enjoy the sacrifice that he just made. He'd get to eat this sacrifice in the presence of the Lord and say, man, God, you are so good. You provided. And even this food reminds me of the fact that you are so rich and you provide in so many great ways. In the Old Testament, there was a consistent pattern of people actually going before God and giving thanksgiving offerings. Also requires audience participation. When you look at what they would do, in order for me to go in and offer something, what would I first have to do before I actually went in and offered? I'd actually have to think about something that, wow, I'm actually thankful for this. It would actually involve me actually remembering something that God has done for me, reflecting on that, whether it's something in the past or something that he's doing right now. And that person would actually actively then, not just remember, but they would actually move themselves and they would prepare and get this sacrifice ready to take up to the temple. It was an acknowledgement of God's presence in Psalm 95 and 2 and 100. Verse 4, I would come into your courts with thanksgiving. It actually meant that I would go into the presence of God and realize that, God, you are here. Thank you for who you are. So it was something that involved audience participation. It involves sacrificing, something that I don't know for many of us. I think so many times we think of a sacrifice that would happen, and actually got to see a video of a sacrifice taking place on Mount Gerizim. Now, what do you think these people were doing during the sacrifice? Many times what was in my head is that I would take this sacrifice and I'd be, oh, this poor sheep, and make this sacrifice. No. The people, when they were there, they would offer the sacrifice and they would jump and shout and they would sing and praise God. Why were they doing that? They knew without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. They knew that this was a part of how God described for them to come before him and worship him. This was a pleasing aroma to God. It wasn't something that I came somberly. I actually came joyfully before the Lord because I knew that part of this whole process, it involved me actually going before him and doing something, being involved in the process. It involved music and singing. All throughout the Psalms, we see people singing and saying thanks to God. It involved eating food with others. Well, why would I eat with other people? Probably so that I could actually look at that person and say, we're offering this Thanksgiving offering, kids. Remember how God provided in this way? And we're eating together and we're celebrating and we're encouraging one another with what God has done for us. We're celebrating it. Food was often involved in the Old Testament. Telling it to others, Psalm 26, verse 7. Then there was acceptance by God. He would accept this offering when I came before him and I offered it according to the means that he prescribed for me. There was just this joyous notion that I knew that God was pleased. Well, what else? There's a content. Specifically, when you look at some of the verses that I have there, it was God-focused. It was focused on who he is and what he does. Anytime that you see this word happen, it would reflect on who God is and how he's miraculously worked in their life. And there was also a result that would happen. There was also something that it would impact the nations, that as this people would praise God, other people would take note. And they would go, wow, their God is moving among them. And they would be caught up in this celebration and praise. Psalm 67, verse 2. One person commented and said this: a thorough study of the use of this word in the Old Testament can lead to one conclusion. Everywhere and in every situation, God's people should continually give thanks to God, the one who has created and redeemed them. That's just a survey of all the uses in the Old Testament. But it's also used in the New Testament. Consider that with me just for a moment. In the New Testament, we see also, again, people are going to be thankful for this one. It's connected with food again. What do you usually do when you're eating food with one another? Somebody's going to say thanks, right? Going to say thanks to God. And this was something that happened on a regular basis. Jesus, when he broke bread, he said thank you before he did it. He just acknowledged God the Father. Man, you've provided this food. I'm going to say thank you for that. Not only that, but we see even when he was doing the Lord's Supper, said he broke bread and gave thanks. This word is Eucharisteo. And that's actually, some of the people would refer to the Lord's Supper as the Eucharist, which just means thanks. It's what he actually did when he gave thanks. So it's even something that's involved in the Lord's Supper. It's a reasonable response to God. Let's look at one of these responses. If you have your Bible, turn over into Romans chapter 1, verse 21. I know we're kind of going through a lot of these different ones, but it's important that we have a good understanding of just the variety of different uses and ways that thankfulness is used all throughout Scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Now, this is used in a negative sense of the importance of thanksgiving for people. And what did Paul say to the people? Let me back up to even verse 20. It says, actually verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them, to these people, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, or what does the next part say? Give thanks. They just didn't give him thanks for what he had done. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And again, what we see, what happens with a thankless heart, a heart that doesn't acknowledge God, it turns to greater and greater sin. Greater and greater replacement of God's rightful place in our life. What else do we notice? Reasonable response toward others. Paul consistently, and we'll be talking about this later, whenever he would write a letter to people, what would he start with? He would start with usually a general greeting. And then one of the first things that he would say to these people is, every time I think of you, I do what? What does he do? I thank God for you. Man, Paul even does this when he greets people. Man, when he encounters these other people, he's like, man, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful for you. And this response is something seen all throughout that. You can see that in the passages, and we'll talk about that later. It's even evidence of being filled with the Spirit. When the Spirit has control of my life, it's this fruit that is produced in my life, being thankful. All right, I think we've labored a lot of these things on thankfulness. Often, thankfulness is connected to the provision, to deliverance, or God's character, commonly associated in Scripture with meals and worship. Funny, in just a moment, we're actually going to be celebrating a meal together, the Lord's Supper, reminding us of the fact that we actually desperately needed Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Apart from him, we'd be lost. Apart from him, we're still under the guilt and righteous judgment of our sin. But God in his grace sent his son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could actually have life through him. So this thing that we're going to be celebrating together, it's not just a somber moment. So many times we kind of sit in our chair and we quietly reflect, and I get that. But I often wonder, what if it was a moment where we're sitting there and we take the bread and we stand up and dance and we just sing and go, oh my goodness, God, you are so good. Thank you. Holy cow, God, you sent your son. Look at this, because of you breaking your body on my behalf, I'm now right with you. I have a relationship with you. Wow, that's all because of you. Man, this juice just reminds me of the fact that without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of my sin. God, wow, thank you. Thank you, God. Oh, you're so good. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that kind of favor. Man, you are great. What if instead that's what communion looked like, even this morning? Huh? Some are going, I don't know about that, Josh. I don't know about that. Give me some time to work myself into this. Why is this so important? Read with me. This is our text this morning. It was kind of a lengthy introduction. We're actually going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And I'm actually going to ask that we stand, we read this together, just in honor of Jesus, who he is, what he's done, in honor of the Word of God. Listen closely, and I'm going to read this, and then I'd like for us to actually read through this together. Listen first. It says this, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's read this together. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is God's will for you this morning? What does he want for us this morning? What does he desire for us to do? Regardless of the circumstance, some of you are going, Josh, I'd be more thankful if this was going on in my life. Josh, I would love to give thanks, but if you just knew what my week was like, you'd know how hard this is for me. What would God be saying to us? Read specifically with me where it says, give thanks in all circumstances. What did God want us to do? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And that's the southern you. That's y'all, right? It's not just for select people in here. Go ahead and be seated. But see, often, and I found this quote, and listen to this. A writer says this in a blog that I found. He says, we often want to keep our thankfulness. We want to hold on to it. We want to keep our thankfulness until we think it's worthy to be given or when our circumstances change for the better. It's easy to give thanks when our life is going smoothly. It's a natural response. But when our life is not going that way, when life is not going the way we think it ought to, we tend to hold out on thankfulness. We want to see that God is going to, what God is going to do and say and change, etc., before we offer any thanks to him. On the contrary, thankfulness keeps you humble, open, soft-hearted, and obedient. What is the will of God for each and every one of us this morning? What's the will of God for us this month? I go back to my first question. Why would we spend an entire month on being thankful? Well, I come to a passage like this and I say, wow, I don't know that we should be spending a month on this topic. I think it should be something that we actually spend the rest of our lives learning to say thanks regardless of the circumstance. Why? Because that's the will of God for each of us. Now, is this just so he can feel better about himself? As we just looked at the benefits of being thankful, how it impacts us, and how we treat one another, my positive outlook on life, depression, anxiety, those are things that each and every American struggles with. There's something that each and every person infects people in different ways. What if instead of just being a command because he's a God that wants to push down his thumb on you, what if instead he's actually a God who's giving you a command that is actually for your good? That this is actually a loving father looking at you and going, one of the greatest ways for you to actually enjoy this life is for you to not just think about what you don't have, but reflect on who I am and what I've done and what you do have and be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. That will change you. It will fundamentally change who you are and how you think. What if this is the loving father looking at his kids and saying, I'm saying this for your good? But so often we don't think that way. Maybe how you think is a little bit more like this. I asked my wife to come up and do a reading with me. And this reading, I found it online, and it's a guy that just wrote out sometimes an interaction with God in prayer. And I wonder if you'd listen to this and ask yourself, God, is this how I come before you? Is this how I actually approach you about this whole topic of being thankful? And listen to what the writer responds to us. I think this well reflects God's heart. And so Heidi's going to read the portion of a person praying, and I'll read the portion of God's response to us. Listen closely.
Heavenly Father, please let me know your will. I really need to know what you want me to do about.
This is my will for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that reminder. I really do need to be more thankful. But getting back to my request, I am not sure what to do about.
I want you to give thanks in all circumstances.
I know. Lord, I know that this is important, and I can see that I neglect that. But unless I sort of... well, get all of this figured out. Everyone needs to know about being thankful, right? But seriously, this urgent thing, I do not know what to do. I need your clarity from this. I need to know your direction. What do I do?
I'm being serious and specific. I want you to give thanks in all circumstances, and right now in this particular circumstance. Until you learn to give thanks in all circumstances, much of my will for you will be veiled. I have guiding and providing graces you can't see now because of your ingratitude. Be faithful to obey my revealed will for you, and I'll be faithful to guide, Psalm 32, verse 8, and provide for you, Philippians 4, 19. I wonder if that's our response before God. Yeah, God, I know I need to be thankful, but what about this issue going on? And he's made something so plain, so clear. Well, what do I need to do about this situation? I've actually told you, be thankful. Yeah, I know about that, but like, please tell me what I need to do. See, so often the reason that I do this with God is I don't like the answer that I'm getting. I'm wanting him to give me a different answer. And right now, what God's will for each and every one of us as a church is that we are thankful. That this month, that we spend this month working on thankfulness. Now, here's my question for each and every one of us this morning. how? How do you do that? Is this something that now I need to actually go ahead and just kind of ignore problems that are happening in my life and go, okay, I won't talk to God about that? No. See, this last few weeks, Heidi and I have hit some hard times. And this week, one of the things that God reminded me of this passage, just to give you an example of what does that look like? What does prayer look like when I still have difficult things going on? Do I just ignore it? See, I sat before God and I said, man, God, what you say about yourself in the Gospels is that you clothed the fields in splendor. You provided for birds. You are a God who richly provided for Israel. I know that's who you are. Man, here's the reality of what's going on. I don't know how to fix this situation in my life. And here's the reality. I can't fix this situation. Thank you for it. Thank you for this situation right now that is overwhelming me. I'm thankful for it because you are going to move and I'm going to get to understand you in such a greater way of how you walk with me through a hard part of my life. Thank you for that. Thank you for the fact that you're actually, if something does happen and you do answer and change the situation, I'll know it wasn't me. I'll know where credit is due. And it's due to you. I don't want to take any of that credit. So thank you for this situation, because it's one more chance for me to know you and for you to make yourself known. What if this week you even took that simple thing of actually going ahead and keeping a journal and writing down things that you are thankful for this week? Would that change you at all? You might be surprised at how that would change. You took time each day. Maybe it's not a journal. You're not a writing person. Would you maybe take time either as an individual? I would even encourage you as a family. We've been trying to do this all this week of sitting down at the table and just saying, what are we thankful for this week? Let's just thank God for it. On the way to church here this morning, what are we thankful for? What are we thankful for God for? What has he done that we can be thankful for? Man, creation, all these different things. Would we as a church rejoice always? Would we give thanks in all circumstances? For this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask the men to come forward, and we're going to continue in our celebration. We're going to be doing communion together. And remember what I was talking about. What if communion wasn't just a time of quiet contemplation? What if communion was loud? What if communion was celebrating what God had done for you in Christ Jesus, sending his son to die on the cross for your sins so that you'd have forgiveness? You'd have a way of relationship with Jesus. Go ahead and start passing the bread. This bread, what Jesus tells us, is it's a symbol. It reminds us of his body that was broken on our behalf. See, without him actually coming, taking on flesh, we'd still be stuck in our sin. Without his body being broken on our behalf, we'd still be living in the consequence of our sin. That's something to celebrate, right? And here's what we're going to be doing. I'm going to give you a moment to quietly reflect on this. When we partake of this, I'm actually going to give a moment for each and every person to just stand and say what you are thankful for that Jesus has done by paying our penalty. Stand up and just shout it. Would you do that with me this morning? Shout out what God has done. Let the neighbors know the goodness of God and what he's done through Christ Jesus. Forgiveness.
Joy.
Shout it. Let people across the other side. We're talking good news. Amen. Changed hearts. Amen. Amen. Blamelessness. Family. Amen. Child of God. Strength for the day. Love. Purity.
Freedom.
Changed heart. Mercy. What was the other one?
Refinement.
Life. Healthy baby. Healing. Reliability.
Sobriety.
Amen. Relationship. Amen. Amen. Laughter. Amen. Hope. Victory. Community. And Jesus said, as often as you do this, as often as you take this time to stop, remember, reflect, and be thankful, do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Together, let's remember the Lord Jesus. We've already expressed things that we're thankful for. Take and eat. And go ahead and start passing. Thank you. One of the benefits of the shed blood of Christ, his body broken on our behalf. Somebody mentioned family. One of the things that is so beautiful about communion is that we actually together get to remember that the reason that we actually are a family is because of one sacrifice that was made for us, Jesus Christ. That's what actually unites us and holds our common bond. It's not just a matter that we enjoy the same style of worship. It's not just because we look the same. It's not just because I happen to like Pokemon. No, this is because of what Jesus has done for us. We remember the fact of what Jesus has done. He's brought us together. When was the last time, just like Paul, that you actually just took a moment to just say, I thank my God each time I remember you. Take a moment right now. Who are you thankful for? This actually requires sacrifice in the Old Testament required that I would get up and I would go tell somebody, I would go do something. This morning, get up. Doesn't have to be just right now, but I'd encourage you to do it right now. Get up and go say, thank you. I thank my God for you when I think about you. I thank God for you too. Could be the person that you're sitting next to. Could be a person across the way. There's a common bond that we have because of Christ. One of the things that Paul encouraged in 1 Corinthians was one of the problems that they had is that when they would get together, some people would eat, some people wouldn't eat. And Paul goes, man, that shouldn't be that way. We're a body. When you get together to celebrate this, remember the fact that we actually have a commonality because of Christ. Think of one another. That was actually what was going wrong when they were coming together. They weren't acknowledging the fact that they had a common bond because of Christ. I'll say it this morning. As often as I think of you, I am thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. I love you. Take and drink in remembrance of Christ. Jesus, thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people. God, it's not just a building that we thank you for. We're thankful for that. God, I'm so thankful for each person in here. God, we offer to you an offering of praise, thankful for the variety of different things, family, sobriety, hope, all of these things because of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give that to you as a fragrant offering. God, thank you this morning. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that we get to worship heartily together.